All right, everybody. Episode 11. We're back. Rob is on vacation, so we have a special guest sitting in.
Yes.
In Rob's seat here. Kyler, who is one of our art director designers here at the office, thought it'd be interesting to have him sit in on today's episode. And Kyler is, as I just mentioned, art director designer, so we've got a little double dose of design.
Extra design. Specificity. Yeah.
Kyler, how long have you been? You've been here a number of years, haven't you? A couple of years, 3 years, something?
Going on four.
4 years.
It'll be four in around the end of summer.
Okay, four of the best years.
Four this year.
Four of the best years of this business's history. How about that?
Well, I appreciate it.
I know, yeah. I know. Well, Kyler, also, before we jump into design, I've got what I think might be an interesting topic for two designers to talk about. Before we get into that, I wanted to talk about the music, because Kyler is also the mastermind behind our theme song, right?
That's right, yeah.
Talk me through the creative process for writing our little opening ditty. I know you did like five or six different examples, right? And I think you wrote everything basically on a keyboard, right?
Yeah, I did everything on a MIDI keyboard.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know, you just kind of plug that into your computer, and then you can, you know, emulate a bunch of different sounds through various different programs. I used like the free one,
GarageBand or whatever,
Which isn't the best, but it gets you by.
I love the song. I think it's cool.
So. Yeah, it's surfy. It feels a little
Well, it's got a little surf vibe, but it also has a little bit of like Private
Gadget.
Eye. Yeah. I was gonna say like not Inspector Gadget for me, but more. More Archer, like Sterling Archer, sort of spy, kind of fun spy thing, which I think, a little man of mystery, dare I say.
It does.
Right? So any, I guess when you sit down, and you're a musical guy by nature, I know you played a bunch, we talked about music on a previous episode, and I know that you play guitar and I've played in bands and, you know, have a musical upbringing, as a lot of creative people, you know, kind of dabble both in illustration, photography, and music, whatever the case may be.
Multidisciplinary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty common.
So when the assignment comes in, hey dude, we need a little theme song for our podcast. How do we approach that? Is there any?
So I kind of just sat down and was trying to play around with some chords and just try to figure out what the sound or voice of
what the vibe is.
And then like, how long should it be? I guess with podcast intros, usually
don't want it too
like
long,
15 seconds to 20 or something like that. And then I just tried kind of a lighter one.
Okay.
There was a darker one that was a little too dark. It was a little weird.
Sure.
And then I just started kind of playing with different styles, a more rock or, you know, kind of a softer thing. And then I was like, maybe I'll try a surf thing.
Okay.
And then Rob really liked it. And I was like, hey, you know, this one could work.
I think it's cool. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I think you're a talented guy that can sit down on a keyboard and just write all the different parts of a song, you know. Whether that song is 10 minutes long or 10 seconds long, I think it takes talent to do that. So.
Well, I had a class actually in high school that where this is all we did. We had like a full size MIDI keyboard.
Okay.
And we would make songs, but then also I think we had projects where like we would score 10 minutes of a scene from a movie.
Really?
I think we got to do Mission Impossible, like the tunnel scene with John Voight on top of the train.
Interesting.
And we did that like every year. It was the same scene pretty much.
Huh. Interesting.
And sometimes some of the guys would get creative and dub in fake.
I didn't have anything cool like that. I mean, I went to high school a million years ago, so there was we were still learning how to like write checks and do boring things. There was no fun, you know.
Checks. That's valuable stuff.
We barely had computers, Kyler, you know. I think we updated from typing to keyboarding. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I mean, when I was in elementary school, it was still pretty early computer stuff.
You're going to make me feel old.
So,
no, I mean, we had Apple IIe's when I was in elementary school. Macs weren't even a thing yet. So I sound like a grandpa right now.
Macs weren't popular. If you remember, it was like Jobs had gone away and no one had Macs.
And that was the clone years where they were trying to do the PC model. You probably don't remember that.
I do remember them, and I don't
they were
like
terrible.
Them very much.
Yeah, they were
bad. I
remember
my grandfather getting one. He was very confused by you know, the whole interface of it.
Grandparents and computers, that's confusing to begin with.
Well, that was the only computer ever, you know. Thank God, no iPhones for them.
All right, well, that's enough about the theme song. So two designers sitting in the chair. I thought what might be interesting is to get a couple different perspectives about the concept of doing better design, right? The two of us being very visually driven, right? I'm going to kind of lump us together, right? Mm-hmm. We go out in the world and we see the world visually different potentially than a lot of the rest of the people do, right? I would say that, and I mean this lovingly, but the world's worst design is almost always in a Mexican restaurant menu. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I look at that thing and I'm like, my Lord.
But there that's how I trust a Mexican restaurant. You
know? Well said. Yeah. Very well said.
If it's too nicely designed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you always want two or three typos in there, right?
Yeah,
for authenticity, typos. Right? But that's an extreme example of we look at that menu probably different than 95% of the world looks at a menu, right? For a restaurant, right? So, but I think, you know, I don't know what the numbers are. I think we consume like 3,000 to 5,000 different visual messages a day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that, right? Through advertising, through billboard, just everywhere. Living our life constant. 16 hours a day, right? So the idea of doing better design, I think, could kind of be an interesting topic, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we get assignments from clients, you know, I'll throw the question over to you about the idea of how do you approach, you know, making something, you know, air quotes, better, right?
Right.
Right. Any initial thoughts that come to mind in terms of like approach? Like, hey, here's a brief. I've got an assignment from a client. It's packaging. It's sales collateral. It's a website. It's a video. It's a whatever the deal may be, right? I mean, are there any universal principles that anybody listening to this might be interested to like how designers sort of formulate better design? It's kind of a tough question.
Yeah, I was going to...
This is not an easy one sitting in Rob's seat here.
Yeah. For me, I feel like I approach different projects probably a bit, you know, differently. There's not the same starting point for a new client logo project as there is for, even if it's a new client, a client that has an existing brand feel, or at least they have some brand elements.
Yeah.
If it's just color or type, or some kind of visual elements that they've used.
Yeah.
If it's in a case like that, I'll try to take those things and try to see a different way to combine those elements.
Yeah.
And how they'll work with the given project.
Sure.
If it's a new
So let me interrupt though. That sounds like it's really more of a visual order of operation. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, right? But it's, hey, we've got all these elements. It's an existing brand.
Right.
How do we organize this in a manner that's going to be easily digestible?
Right. Or is there, you know, if they're using some kind of design element, is there a better way for them to use that? Or is there something, if they have a logo already, is there something in the logo that can be used almost like a brand system?
Sure.
I mean, you know, I'm a fan of systems.
Yes, and patterns and all that. Yeah, yeah.
But
I think that works. I mean, that's taking what you've got and solidifying it and making it better.
An example would be Amazon's arrow from A to Z.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Most people today, I feel like, would think that it's a smile.
Yeah, everybody almost universally says it's a smile.
But really, I think that was just a utilization where they saw that on the packaging, if you just use this, it kind of looks like your package is smiling at you on your doorstep.
Well, and I think it's now that they have Prime and video and are watching football on Amazon, you know, they have kind of Nike swooshed that thing and that they've taken that smile or the arrow, as we would probably call it. And they have disassociated from the type. So it used to be from A to Z, we have everything.
But it was always with the type.
You'd never see it without the type. Yeah, yeah.
So,
but remember, Amazon started as just a bookseller. All they were the world's biggest bookstore. Call it the glorified Barnes & Noble, right?
Right.
So when they did that rebrand, that tied into, by the way, we have...
Yeah, we do everything.
We have plumbing fixtures. Right. I mean, think of anything and type it into Amazon and it exists. It's crazy, right? So...
But I feel like there was probably a designer along the way who was like, hey, you know, this also looks like this. There's a double way of using this element that's already in the logo.
Yeah.
And for all we know, they might have tweaked the logo a little bit at that point.
Yeah.
Some people don't realize that logos get tweaked little by little over time.
Sure. Absolutely.
Pentagram just redid Amex's design.
Yeah.
And I would say 95% of people would not even notice that.
Correct.
That they spent God knows how much money.
Yeah, but it's been cleaned up. I mean, the illustration of the person's head is cleaner, and the type.
The type,
when I look at it, it's dramatically different, especially that C to A ligature, right? Because you get that weird CA thing, which they've always had. How do you feel about it? Is that better or worse?
I think that they improved.
I think so too.
Amex.
Yeah.
That said, it was just a slight. Upgrade, I guess, if you want to call it that. You
know? Yeah, yeah. It's not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going from the creamsicle
No.
And the photo, or not the photo, but the illustration of
the pirate,
the buccaneer with the with the knife in his mouth. To now we've got like full skull and crossbones. I mean, that's like a full rebrand.
That was.
You know, I would consider what Amex did an evolution.
Right.
And then I think too, a lot of it is just utilization, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is trend, you know, I mean, I'm not breaking new ground here, but everything trending digital, needing a digital specific utilization. I mean, American Express is a long word mark. It's a, got a traditional lithograph looking illustration in the middle of the, you know, kind of looks like the, money, right? Yeah, yeah. But now it's, oh, we're competing with PayPal and Venmo and WeChat, all that stuff, right? So they've, you know, developed
all
that
fintech, which has become a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. So they've got the little teeny moniker now that plays well socially and things like that. So
the little square.
Yeah. And it says Amex because everybody calls it Amex, right? It's kind of like Federal Express going from Federal Express to FedEx, right? Yeah. So I think I got off topic though. We were talking about, you know, the difference between, hey, do they have a existing system and can we clean that up, right? Versus potentially something new. Right?
Yeah. So if it's a brand new project, then I kind of start to go into, I feel like when you're a designer and you kind of have to, you know, inspiration has to be kind of instantaneous.
Sure, sure.
You know, you have to kind of turn it on and just go.
Yeah.
Then I start to kind of go through, call it a progression of things that I commonly will try.
Yeah.
And not necessarily for every project. You know, if it's a, like right now we're doing a project for a new client that is definitely leaning more towards a clean, modern sans serif style. Yeah. And that's kind of what they've already express that they're interested in.
Absolutely.
So I, in a case like that, I don't go down the road too far of traditional, you know, Trajan style serifs.
Sure,
like
sure.
Some things are just never going to fit with certain projects. So,
yeah, of course.
But that said, I'd try to start relatively wide on a project in terms of iteration.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're just tinkering and some things start to work better, and then I'll go down that rabbit hole and see where that goes.
See where it leads you.
Try not to go too far down early on.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And then start back and try to find another pathway, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm throwing you a hard question here because it's like, how do you make the world better, right?
Right.
One design at a time, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, when I approach, you know, the concept of doing things better or doing better design, it kind of comes from a place of clarity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I'm always, you know, what is the mission objective? Of course, you need to know what the objective is. Right.
True.
But how do we design that in as clear a way as possible and make it whatever it needs to be? Insert, you know, term here. Right. Sexy, quick, fast, what, you know, whatever the case may be. Right. But I want to make, you know, brands in general are kind of what consumers use as shortcuts.
Right.
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 It's, oh, that's Starbucks. I know what that means. Oh, that's Sunkist. I know that's a good orange, or that's high, you know, Dole is high quality fruit, even though it's just a little sticker, right? I mean, there's no packaging on fruit really in the grocery. I mean, there is with Driscoll's and things, but you know, the brands really started as just kind of a visual shortcut for consumers, right? So I think clarity, I think, is definitely a place to play around in terms of making the world kind of look a little bit better. Tied that with what the objective of the project is, right? And then I don't want to discount, you know, target audience and competitors.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Again, I'm kind of coming at it from a businessy side, right? But whatever the assignment is, okay, well, hey, are other people doing that? You know, what are they doing? Is anything else? Can we learn from their successes or failures?
Yeah.
Things like that, right?
I didn't want to go too far into it, but yeah, sometimes looking at examples that could help inform, you know, the design that you have to work on, you know, now.
Yeah, you have to be mindful of marketplace. Right. I mean, if somebody came to us and said, hey, we are a new wireless phone company.
Right.
Right. You know, let's not do a logo that is a giant T that's magenta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you have to be aware of what everybody else is doing, right? Uh-huh. I mean, you need to be, okay, hey, AT&T owns Blue.
Yeah.
Comcast has kind of got the red down. T-Mobile's holding down the pink and the magenta.
Yeah. Don't go lowercase Helvetica with a check mark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for Verizon, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I think it's important to know what competitors are doing, you know, but for me, I think, you know, design isn't necessarily how much more can I add
right.
to it, right?
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Well, finish my thought for me then.
Well, I had a professor who said the point of design is to take something complex and make it simple.
Yeah.
And in this case, in our class, I think we had a lot of students who were taking something simple and making it complex.
And adding. Yeah.
Which is a common thing, I think, for young designers. But
sure.
On a previous podcast, you mentioned Massimo.
Yeah.
And the New York subway system.
Love Massimo, yeah.
And one of the great examples is that the actual map of those trains...
They don't go that route at all.
Aren't actually, if you look at it, the total map of the subway, it's everything straight and then just comes to one angle.
Correct.
Obviously, it's not like that.
Correct. In the land of, if you were to look at a topographic map of where the subway route actually goes...
It's not what the map is.
It's
not what the map shows.
Correct.
But the map simplifies for someone
understanding
the general direction and pathways of these things to make it far easier to look at and therefore understand.
Great example.
So I think that's got to be one of the core principles of design it's kind of like a recipe where you want to use as many ingredients as is necessary to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, and no more.
Correct.
That's kind of how
I don't know the phrase. I'm going to butcher it, but it's perfection isn't achieved by what you can keep adding. It's achieved by what you keep removing until you cannot remove anything.
Right.
Right. Right? Then without it faltering or failing. Right. Right. So if we use the New York subway system as an example, it is very clear. Right. There is clarity there in terms of what I'm talking about. Right. The objective is to inform people of how to get from train to train and go to go, where they need to go, right? Which is exciting. And then think about their target audience of like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I don't want to say idiots, that's not what I'm saying, but like people that don't know how to get to wherever, right? So I'm going to call it fantastic mission accomplished.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the great design projects, I would say, of all time, probably.
Exactly. There's only been one change to that of interest.
What's from the black and white to using the color system?
Yeah, no. So when it first was deployed, it was all white. The background was white, and everything was colored on the white, right?
Okay, yeah.
And
that's not how we see it.
Then the next year, everything is black, right? The background is black, and then all of the lines are colored, and the letters and the trains and the numbers are all colored. And the reason for that was graffiti.
So people were
graffitiing all over it, right?
Right.
The white kind of opened itself up as a canvas for people to add their own, artwork to it, right? So, but nothing has ever changed on that since, and nothing ever will.
It doesn't need to. So. And if you look at a lot of other major cities who have some kind of public transit system,
it's copied
off
of that.
They have all taken the cue from Massimo.
And he
comes from the school of Swiss simplicity to begin with, right?
Yeah, yeah. There are five typefaces. The rest of it, like, no more.
Yeah, well, he had like three sans, three serifs. It was something like that.
Yeah, I want to say a Bodoni, a Futura, a Helvetica, Univere.
Century Gothic.
Century Gothic. Serif. Yeah, yeah.
And I think Garamond, the old style Garamond, he might have used.
Yeah.
But he mostly used Helvetica.
Yeah, if my wife listens to this, she's going to smack me because she knows all of this or whatever. So she did a whole course with Massimo and was his assistant
in multiple
places.
I remember you telling me he doesn't like white dinner napkins.
No, only everywhere we went out to dinner, it was always black napkins.
Black napkins.
Yeah, because white napkins leave like the fuzz on your lap and
That's true. That's true.
I mean, I'm talking like cloth napkins, obviously, not like,
paper towels or whatever.
Yeah. So.
Well, he did used to wear black a lot.
Yeah.
Only.
Well, there was a time where he designed his own apparel. Because he was also part of the fashion is inherently seasonal, and that's why it's garbage kind of crew, right?
Okay,
I mean, why would you design something that is meant to be destroyed, right?
Right, right.
I say, well, hey, kudos to that great business where if every 3 months we have to buy a whole new outfit, that's good for the people making outfits, right? But his approach was always timeless design. Design should not be a fad. It shouldn't be like 90s is the grunge.
I agree with that. I know we did a previous episode about timeless design.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I mean, for most situations, that should be most designers' goal.
Yeah.
With whatever it is that they're designing, particularly brands,
for
identity.
Sure. All right. Well, I think again, two designers, we could probably talk for another hour on design, but we should probably let this one
it's
go.
Already 20 minutes.
That's amazing. Can you believe? I know. Goes quick, right?
It does.
It's kind of fun to sit in these chairs, right?
Talk about design. It's not too bad.
Yeah, maybe we'll have you back sometime. All right, everybody. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. You can find us online, obviously, at mocktheagency.com. Drop us a 5-star review only at wherever you may review podcasts, Apple or Spotify or whatever the case may be. And we will catch you next time. Thanks, everybody.